Okay, great. Well, welcome everybody to the Addiction 911 show. And I'm here today. My name is Christina Rowe, and I'm the publisher of Addiction 911 magazine. And I'm here with the editor, Debbie Sherrick. And she's also a codependency coach. And we're waiting for our guests. So we're just going to begin. Today, our topic is the battle to save your addicted loved one. So this is a really serious topic, and we're going to just dive right in. And then when Cindy gets on to join us, then we'll continue with Cindy. So thank you, Debbie. I'm going to let you start.
Okay. So, of course, the topic that we have today, I'm real excited. I hope that she's able to get on. I'm real excited to hear her talk also about her journey with codependency and her experience with trying to save an addict. So, hello, my name is Debbie Sherrick. I'm the owner of Inside Out Wellness Coach, and I am a holistic codependency coach. And so let's just dive right in, and you guys can ask questions and maybe make some comments as we're talking about, trying to save the addict, which is something that is very common for us codependents, those that have codependent behavior. And you guys know that, I don't like labeling people as codependents. I don't think that it's a healthy label. I like to say we have codependent behaviors. And some of those behaviors, we just didn't wake up codependent one day. We learn them growing up and from our childhood and relationship role models and growing up with our home, in our home. So some of the topics or characteristics that we will be talking about is about our need to rescue, enable, and caretake the addict in hoping to save them, because that's one of the behaviors that codependents do, is that we want to be the savior in people's lives, and especially if we have loved ones who are addicts, we feel right that we're the ones that can save them. And
I see Cindy is here. I just want to
good.
I don't think this is her first blab, so I think she doesn't know how to get on. Cindy, I see that you're there. I just sent you a message. Can you click on where it says right below me, open seat, so we can get you on? I sent you a message too. I see that she's joined here. So let's give her a second to get on. Are you there, Cindy? If you're having trouble, just write in the little box, send message, so that we can make sure we get you on since you are our guest for today. Okay, we'll just wait. Let's just give her a second. As we're waiting, Debbie, this is a very, like you said, this is a, being codependent is what's at the core of, trying to save another person. I don't know if Cindy's still there. I feel bad because this is, she's written a really great book about this issue, and I really want to get her on here. Cindy, if you hear me and you can see me, can you just type in the message box? Where the box says join plus, click the box. Okay, thank you, Ron. Yeah, it's right down over here. Join right here where it says, it doesn't say open seat for you. It just says join. So Cindy, if you're on, if you can just click on, let me click on her for a second. See here, Cindy, let me follow her here. Okay, Cindy, if you can do that, that would be really great. This is what we can get you on. Okay, well, I'm just going to give her another couple minutes. Sorry to interrupt, Debbie. So as you were saying?
That's okay. Beth, and there I'm echoing again. One of the things as far as being savior, is that better?
About the same.
Okay. Sometimes my earphones make me echo. Okay, so that's better. We talk about being a savior, and I was going to say one of the reasons where that comes from is that we have a false belief about love. We feel that if we're needed and we are able to rescue someone needs us and we can be responsible for other people, we get need and love confused. That the more someone needs us and the more that we can rescue them and save them, it proves that we love them, and it proves to them, and they need us, so then we feel loved, and that's how the dance of the relationship goes, which love and need are not the same. So, you know, I always share with clients that have addicted loved ones that sometimes we can love them actually to death, and that we can prevent them from hitting a bottom. And
that's also a stop you there a sec, Debbie. That is a, you just brought up a really good point about loving an addict to death. Let's explore that for a minute. You know, okay. There's the thing about this is that this is where it, I think it's really tough. So let's talk about a parent, for example. You've got an addicted child, you know, and of course you give your life for your child to save your child's life. So the natural instinct as a mother or a father is going to be to do everything possible to save that child, no matter what it takes. And usually that involves taking a lot of action and interfering and getting involved and, you know, trying to save that person like we're talking about today. But on the other hand, what you're saying here about, you know, being codependent and it's a need of being needed and stuff too. Is there a difference between that maybe with like a relationship with, say, your codependency with a spouse or a boyfriend or a girlfriend, as opposed to the parent desperately trying to save the life of a child? I mean, would you see, or it's still that same need versus love?
Well, I think it's the same need and love. Like, even if it's a spouse, you're afraid of losing their love. You're afraid of losing them. You don't want to lose the relationship. I mean, the feelings are the same. However, you know, I believe the intensity, and it's, I have found in my own work and in my own experience that it's harder as a parent, especially moms, you know, that we're the nurturers. We're the ones that take care and rescue our children. You know, we moms can go out and lift a car off their child, you know, need be. We'll do anything, you know, mama bear. I always say, you know, mess with me, don't mess with my kids. So, when it comes to child, and I love to get parents, you know, I love to intervene with parents, or hope that parents are seeking healthy help in their own health and their own recovery early on in the addiction. Because if they have spent a lot of years rescuing, enabling, going through all their finances, you know, keeping the child from having any consequences, then it's easier. It's easier to, I call it, up their bottom. You know, you can actually, by your own health and by your own behaviors and choices and boundaries and detaching some of those tools, teaching parents that, and contracts and some of the things we use with parents, it is easier to help the child to up their bottom, help them to hit their bottom a little quicker, than if the child has been in addiction for years and years and years and years, and you've been enabling them for years and years and years and years and rescuing them. And, you know, true life, one of the things I say to parents is, you know, in real life, life is about, for all of us, whether someone's in addiction or not, every human being in life, choices are choices that we make every day have consequences. If they're good choices, we have good consequences. If they're bad choices, we have bad consequences. And those are how we learn. It's how we grow up emotionally. It's how we learn. It's how we learn to be responsible. And so when we protect that child or that person, when we protect them from having consequences of their choices and of their addiction, and we're always cushioning them and putting the pillow under them and rescuing them and bailing them out, and they don't ever have an effect, you know, a consequence of their choices, that's what I talk about, that we keep them in their addiction. We enable them to continue because it's soft for them. There's no pain. There's no consequence. And tough love is true love. When we can have tough love and say no, it doesn't feel good. It goes against our nature as a parent, especially, to, you know, not rescue our children or kick them out or let them be on the streets or whatever that is. It is so hard, so hard to do that. But yet, if you have support, you're in a getting help, you are looking at what is the healthy thing to do and what statistics show works, and you are able to walk through that with the support. And you really can't do it, I don't believe, without support. You really need to have a safety net and a support system that's helping you with those hard, hard choices.
And is it the irony is, wouldn't the irony be that the thing that is the most unnatural, either, you know, whether it's a parent or a spouse to do, is the thing that ultimately could save the addict? And that is tough love. And that goes against every grain of our, you know, as a parent, or like to not pick up that phone, to not send the money, to let them sit on the streets or leave them in jail and not bail them out. I mean, these are, that's like, you know, goes against everything in your heart. But yet that is ultimately, and it's proven, right, that probably the only way to have that addict, like you said, get that pillow out from underneath their butt and let them hit the ground so that they want the help and that they will change. And so that's really, I think a lot of people, I don't know if anybody here has a child, a loved one now who is an addict, and, you know, you're feeling these feelings right now. If you want to, you know, jump in or ask us a question here about that, like, how do you, it's easier to say, I guess, than to do. So what were some things, Debbie, that you would suggest if somebody's really feeling that tug of war in their heart, like they know that's the way to save the addict, but they don't know what to do? Oh, I see Cindy here. Cindy, I see that you're on. Can you just click on join? Okay, you just click on the join seat here and we'll get you right on. So while she's doing that, Debbie, what do you do when you have that?
Well, you know, I've talked to people and I want to say this is where the codependency comes in whether people, I've talked to people who don't really have, they're more healthy and they don't really have codependent behaviors, and they've had a child or a loved one and they've set boundaries right away. They set boundaries and detach right away. They just won't put up with that. But so it has a lot to do with ourselves, not just the addict, with us, and how we don't have boundaries of what we're not doing is unacceptable behavior. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Cindy. So happy that we got you on. We can see you. Can you hear us? I hope we can hear you. In the meantime, everybody, you know, I'm so happy we've got Cindy, our guest here. If you guys, thank you, Ryan, for sharing. You can, you know, tweet this show out and, you know, obviously follow us. We want to follow you back. Here on Blab, so we can see what you guys are doing on Blab. And also, I just want to say, while she's setting up, that, you know, if you want to get a free issue and all free issues of Addiction 911 magazine, where we have a PDF, we're on an app, which we're on the iPhone, the iPad, we're in the Google Play Store, we're on Amazon. So you just go to addiction911magazine.com and you can sign up there and you can click on the link to the various apps. We hope you'll get that, because we have some really, we turn into podcasts, and then we're able to put that on, you know, a lot of articles and a lot of resources. And we do focus a lot on this issue of codependency. Okay, Cindy, I see that you're there. I think we're ready to go. Wonderful. I want to tell everybody about you. So it's so wonderful to have you here. And I'm going to just read Cindy's bio. Cindy Charles, was it Ouellette?
Olette,
this is a beautiful name, is the author of Crying Hearts of the Loved Ones. Cindy was an airline hostess and model. She fell in love during her travels, ending up in a third world country. There, she raised her child while working as a language professor. Inner fear led her to the bottle, ultimately resulting in alcohol addiction. While struggling with alcoholism, she found her miracle recovery through God and a 12-step program over the internet. After 2 years of sobriety, Cindy escaped for her life back in America. Cindy is now a certified peer recovery coach in West Virginia and Texas, as well as a certified recovery coach, trainer in Texas, a facilitator plus trainer for various recovery curriculum, a motivational speaker, an outreach worker focusing on youth in the Appalachian Mountains, and she's still an active member of several 12-step organizations. Now clean and sober for over 11 years, Cindy knows about the drama, trauma, and heartaches of crying hearts battling to save their loved ones from substance abuse. Cindy has also witnessed the exciting miracles of sobriety. Sorry about that. Her novel is based on reality. This is the real deal stuff. Welcome, Cindy. We're so excited to have you here.
Welcome, and, Cindy. So nice to
thank
meet
you.
Yeah,
nice to meet you.
Let's start with the title of your book, Crying Hearts of the Loved Ones. Tell us about the book and what it's about.
It's about the hearts. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yeah.
Okay, good. I had a hard technical time here. I so apologize.
Oh, no, we did too. Believe me. Sorry.
Well, the book is, as the title says, Crying Hearts of the Loved Ones, because my own family had to cry about me, whether they showed it or not. And some of them are still scarred and trying to get healed over that without even knowing how. And that's sad for all of us, that we have to have be a living amends the rest of our life to heal those scars that they cried on. Crying Hearts of the Loved Ones is for the people, whether they're married or they're their siblings or blended family, husbands, wives, children, adult children, mainly adult children that are aching inside and little by little going insane, watching their loved one destroy themselves through addiction. And there's all kinds of addictions. So it's Crying Hearts of the Loved Ones. And I took all of the different, I took three families and their battle with their adult children in addiction and put them in a storm, a tormenting life. They're all standing in water in different levels at different times, trying to survive drowning within the addiction, because it's in a family thing. The addiction's a family thing. The whole family's in the storm and the flood.
Absolutely. I hear a little bit of feedback from you. You've got your headphones in. You don't have a cell phone with Bluetooth on right near you at all, do you? Sometimes that makes the feedback.
I'm on a cell phone. I could never get on my computer. Do you want me to
go? Are you also on the computer at the same time, or are you just on the cell phone?
Just on the cell phone.
Okay. Yeah, do you hear that, Debbie? But you're plugged into the cell phone with the headphones, right?
I'm not hearing the feedback, Christina.
Oh, you're not. Okay. All right, good. If everybody let me know if you're hearing the feedback or not. So Cindy, let me ask you a question. This has been, you're coming from the perspective, Debbie's a codependency coach. Okay, they are hearing the feedback. Debbie's, and you were the addict. You were the actual addict. So you know probably better than anyone what finally led you to getting, you know, being sober and being clean. Would you say, you know, when we talk about saving an addict, was it the tough love? Is that what helped you on your path? Did the family, your family become, letting you hit rock bottom?
I totally believe in letting the addict or the alcoholic hit rock bottom. It's called the gift of desperation. But God gave me that gift right away. I just couldn't find a way out. I was in a third world country. I was just blessed with the gift of desperation. I had a child to raise. I was in one of probably the most abusive marriages of any novel. And I got out of that. And then I started drinking from fear. Of how to survive in a third world country. And I wanted out immediately, but I did not know the answer. I did not have a cell phone. I did not have internet. I didn't even have a mother who would answer the phone in America. But I so believe in the gift of desperation. Sometimes we're just blessed with it. And then most times, you gotta feel rejected, unloved, no one to manipulate, no one to believe your lies and support you financially in your habit. When you feel like nobody cares anymore, normally, you are blessed with the gift of desperation. And I guess I did get that because my mom just rejected me and my son totally. So I guess I did get that.
Wow, Cindy, let me say something I want to bring up about something you just said. I want our audience to hear this because this is very profound. This is huge. I love how you call it the gift of desperation because it's so true that when the addict it gets to a place of desperate. I know one of my family, my brother, when I stopped enabling, when my mother stopped enabling, when we stopped getting him out of jail, when we stopped, you know, helping him get into treatment and detox and all, he ended up sleeping under a bridge and panhandling. And so he was that was his desperation point, that the family totally let go, ignored him. He was alone, desperate, having to panhandle for money to feed himself and to get his drugs and sleeping in a box under a bridge. So that's what made him hit his bottom, and that's what has made him stay in recovery for 8 years now. So I love that people think that, and I want you to talk a minute about this, if you would. People think that when we are letting go of the addict and letting them hit that place of desperation where they are forced to face themselves, it's just them and God, you know, that's it, that they feel guilty about that. They feel like they are not loving the person. They feel like they are not being responsible, and they have what I call false guilt about that. But it's so true about the tough love, and letting them have those consequences is the greatest way to allow them to have that bottom.
You hit the nail on the head. I'm trying not to cry, because you said when they think it's just between them and God and that's all there is, golly molly, what else do you want? When it's just me and God, we're in this, get me through it. And I went through that, through so many beatings, I should have been dead so many times. When it was just me and God, that's when I could make it. That's when I could make it. The best gift any loved one can do is to sit on their hands. You just sit on your hands and ask God, this might be the day, your will, sir. I know you got it figured out. You're a lot smarter than I am. So just help me stay out of this and turn off my cell phone and stop texting and controlling and worrying. If you can, well, my God, you know, can let manna come every day. My God can split the Red Sea. He can take dust and make man and woman. And I don't know. I've got a very powerful higher power. And everyone has their higher power to their own understanding where they are right now in life.
Right, right.
And it keeps progressing. Strive to have a higher power, as it says in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, a loving, forgiving higher power. So if you're able to have reached that higher power in your life, and if you haven't, try to cultivate it for your loved one that's hurting. But if you have that higher power, golly molly, sit on your hands, ask him, help for my loved one. I'm waiting for your miracle. I know you're going to feed him and take care of him or her. And thank you that they're under a bridge. And thank you they're on the corner of Manhattan Street. Thank you that you're doing your will. And stay out of it and let it be that person and God. There's not a rocket or a bomb or a nuclear weapon any bigger than that.
That's right. And that's why it is so important to have that faith in that higher power, whatever I know my own experience with all the addicts I've had in my life. I've had siblings and parents die of addiction that, oh my gosh, I could have not done it with my higher power. I could have not done it with God. There's no way, no way. And so I that's something I encourage clients, you've got to have that spiritual connection. You've got to know that you're not doing this alone. You're not alone. And that's where we have to let go of that savior mentality, that we think that we're God in their life. You know, we think that we're the one that's going to rescue them and fix them, and we know all the answers for them, and we don't. We don't. Right. And so that, our slogans that we have, Cindy, let go and let God, live and let live, all those are keep it simple. All those kiss, all those are so important in when it comes to us letting go of our loved ones who are addicted.
Debbie, I want to just welcome, what is your name? Celebrate who you are.
Michelle.
Michelle, thank you so much, Michelle, for joining us today. Are you a recovering addict, or you have a loved one who's now suffering with addiction?
Well, actually, I'm on here for a number of reasons. I actually do coaching as well for addiction. I have a degree in counseling, but my emphasis is on the 12 steps. And Debbie, yay, you and I have worked together before. You have to look at my picture. Look at my face. I used to live in Deerfield Beach. You've seen me. You just don't remember me. I do the flower essence. Lisa connected us. Debbie, can you hear me?
Debbie, are you there?
I am.
Michelle, my other last name was Umstead. I don't go by that name anymore.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. You don't remember me, do you?
I don't know if she hears you, Michelle. Debbie, did you hear what Michelle said?
I can't hear Michelle.
Debbie, Michelle actually knows you. She's from Deerfield Beach. She worked with you before.
Oh, she has?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I know Michelle from Deerfield. I'm sorry, Michelle. I can't hear you. Yes, I have worked with Michelle. Yes.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's so strange. I'm having a lot of, I still hear a lot of feedback. I just want to see if the feedback's coming from Cindy. I just mute her for one sec. No, you know what? I think it might be coming from Debbie. Let me see. Yes, it's coming from Debbie. Let me put back Cindy on.
Cindy, say something.
I just want to see if the feedback was from you or Debbie.
Yeah, you have to put the headphones in.
I don't know if she hears me now. We're having a lot of technical stuff today.
Do you want me to try to take the mic off my cell phone?
No, you're good. It wasn't you. It's actually Debbie for some reason. I just have her on mute. Debbie, I'm going to just keep you on mute just for a couple minutes.
Okay.
So, Michelle, you do this kind of work as well, like Cindy and Debbie. And so what is your opinion as far as what Cindy's sharing with us about, you know, hitting rock bottom as the only way to save an addict?
It is the only way. And it's the hardest way. It's not only the only way, but it's the hardest way.
And you know what the consequences is? And I recently witnessed this firsthand, unfortunately, several months ago with a friend who was just couldn't do it. She couldn't do it. And her son died, you know, and it's death. And that's what I think anybody watching this, I really want to emphasize to you. I mean, I know, listen, it's impossible to, we're not blaming anybody because you know what, I'm a mother. And if I was in that situation, because I've had issues with my teenage sons, but thank God not to addiction. I don't know if I could be strong enough to do that. But if I knew that the consequence would be that my child is going to die, then I think that would be helpful. That's what I want to tell everybody. Your child or your loved one will die unless you let them hit rock bottom. I mean, or go to jail or, you know, take a very long time to recover. And I've seen people this happen to, and, you know, but as a mother, it goes against everything in your heart to do. As a mother or you love somebody, it is like heart-wrenching. So it's the hardest thing in the world to do, the tough love. And believe me, all mothers out there, we're not criticizing, you know, if you can't do it, but it's, I don't know what the answer is. I mean, I feel so heartbroken for these mothers because I understand that. Cindy?
I have recently found a wonderful way to help the ones that just can't let go. It's amazing. Wow. I've been making a lot of networking with people through LinkedIn and finding things, you know, it's a big United States.
Right.
And there's this capital P, capital A, capital L group, palgroup.org. And you do want to look it up. And the gentleman, his name's Mike, and he was does Counsel and Salvation Army Recovery, 30 years. But he developed... He's got 18 groups now, and it's called PAL Group. Now, I know about loved ones and out of Port Smith with Ed Hughes. I was a part of that. I am a part of that. But this PAL Group, I want to go up to Georgetown, Kentucky, which is only 3 hours from here to a meeting. But he's in I think, New Mexico. And you can see a video online of how he teaches, and it's baby steps of letting go.
Right.
It's amazing. Mm. It's baby steps. And anyone in the nation can start a group, and he helps them, and he has all this facilitating, learning, training material. And you know what he told me on the phone? He says he spent an hour on the phone with me, didn't know me from Adam. It's in his heart. But here's what he said. He said, "Moms, I'm going to say the name of your son." And he said, "Cindy, what's the name of your son?" And I told him, I said, "Adam." And he said, "Close your eyes, Cindy." And I closed my eyes. And y'all do this now if you're worried about a child. And pretend I'm just going to say the word child, okay? Or baby. He said to me, I'm mentioning the name of Adam. So I'm closing my eyes. He says, visualize Adam. So I'm going to say, I'm saying the name of your baby who's in trouble. Visualize your baby who's in trouble. And he said, most of the people see their child on a tricycle, crawling, changing their diaper in the rocker. He said, Cindy, what did you see when I said Adam? And I said, I saw a big, strong boy tying these big chains on a barge, because that's where my son is. He said, then you're okay. But the moms see their child as an infant, as a kindergarten, and they're going to have to start with my program with baby steps. And every time they come every week to a meeting, we work on workshops in group and raise that kid up so they can finally let go and realize they're an adult. Cool?
What's the name of that program? I'm going to see if I can find it online and then maybe put a link in.
Called PAL. It's amazing.
It's called PAL.
P-A-L, Parents Addicted Loved Ones, I think. P-A-L in capital letters. And then group, the word group.org.
Okay.
And and he's got a book. And it goes through the whole thing. And I'm thinking that he is Mike Speakman. And he's a counselor for Salvation Army there. They have wonderful recovery system there.
Great. Thank you, Christine.
Isn't that amazing?
That's awesome. Baby steps. So parents out there, you know, it's taking the baby steps with the tough love. And what would be an example of a baby step, Cindy? Like what would be something a parent can do if your child's right now addicted, or if you have a spouse or a sister or brother and you're an enabler, what would be one of those baby steps?
I'm not a facilitator of that system.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you in my words what I would suggest. I would suggest to have a higher conscious contact with your own higher power so that you can realize that you're not being punished by your child being addicted. That's not a punishment to you, that you haven't done anything wrong. You were not the worst mother in the world. To learn to forgive yourself if you did do something that hurt that child, as I did many times. And I even have it's a YouTube now. It's going to be podcast of when I did my amends to my child when he was in boot camp. I flew up to Great Lakes to ask his forgiveness and how he turned around later and helped me forgive myself. It's a really good blog because it'll help. But if we're going to stop feeling guilty and thinking it's our fault that this child is in this situation. Every one of us, I'm sure I can say this, every adult has been scarred, and some of us have gotten over it, and some of us are living through it, and some of us have decided we're a victim. But there's recovery and restoration for all of us, including our child. Every one of us got over it. Those are just, we call it life happens. Life happens. And it can be all different kinds of trials, but everyone's gotten over it. And we need to just sit on our hands and let our child and trust our higher power. So if you're going to trust your higher power, you better get one and be able to have a conscious contact. I don't know a better way to have a conscious contact with your higher power than the 12 steps. I didn't say you had to be an alcoholic to use the 12 steps. The last time I talked to the GSO General Service Office in New York, and that was 3 years ago when I started AA Godway and needed to get permission. The lady there said, you know, there were 543 last count of organizations using the 12 steps. And yes, you have permission.
Wow.
So anybody, I mean, biting, cutting, overeating, can't pass a donut on a cart, overspending,
codependency.
It's an addiction. And my husband, I was talking to him the other night, he's been reading Melody Beattie, Language of Letting Go, 21 years. That was our common denominator. I've been married 8 years. That was our common. Oh, you read that? Oh, let's be friends. He says, yeah, my son's been reading it 21 years too. And I told him two nights ago, I said, you know, you used to say, playing God, they're playing God. And I would look at you and say, how can you have the gall to say that somebody's trying to play God? Who on earth would be crazy enough to try to play God? I said, but that's why I wrote the book, because I couldn't understand the terminology playing God, but mm-hmm. it means getting in God's way. He has all these plans and wonderful chances and networking and situations and events planned for our loved one to get to meet the right person, the divine connection, the whatever, and we get in the way. And it's termed playing God. But that's why I wrote the book too, so people can see the three instances from the three families when we were getting in the way as loved ones. And I'll shut up now.
Where can we get your book, Cindy? So yes. Everybody's, you know, definitely wants to pick up a copy. Is it on Amazon or the bookstores or your website?
It's everywhere. You just Google Crying Hearts of the Loved Ones. Crying Hearts, and you'll see video trailers. There's four out there in YouTube. There's even an animated one for different strokes for different folks. It will direct you to my website, CindyCharlesOlette.com. But I'm on Amazon, iTunes, Nook, Barnes & Noble, Google Play. As far as an ebook, it is now an audiobook. If you're on the go, it's 20-minute audiobook. It's a 15-minute read book because it's illustrated by three of the most amazing artists, totally gifted for this. The art is amazing. You'll just buy it for the art. Wow. But it's a video that you can download to your phone at a cheaper rate because it's less resolution. Mm-hmm. Or it's a video that you can download for group, especially celebrate recovery, faith-based, you know. And because you can also get it in DVD. It is now in DVD to be mailed to you. It's in paperback, create space, print on demand to be mailed to you. It's everywhere.
Great. All right. Because it's found, I mean, and I love the premises of what you're talking about is that, you know, allowing, you know, God to handle it and not getting in the way and altering destiny and thinking you're saving the day because we're powerless to save the addict. That's the bottom line. The only the addict can save the addict. And you got to put it in a higher power. I love that. Michelle, did you have any questions also for Cindy?
I just wanted to chime in because I've been coaching and doing all this for a long time. And I lived with a dry drunk for 27 years. And we won't go there. So that's a whole nother story. All my practicing, it doesn't matter how much you practice and how much you're constantly in whatever program it is. It doesn't matter how much you're constantly in trying to figure out the word, how many people surround you. It is still very difficult. Because I'm now faced with the same exact situation with my 25-year-old son that I thought would never happen. And it is sometimes not a daily walk. It is a minute-by-minute walk. I mean, even when you think you've got the tools and you think you've got everything, it's the daily walk where you take that God badge and you say, here, I'm giving it to you. It is daily and sometimes moment by moment. So I can't wait to get my hands on the book. I'm excited about it. I've been doing 12-step work for years, not only on myself, but I use it as a premise for, my basic background is I use the principles for the steps. That's where I work from. I work backwards. For those people that aren't familiar with the 12 steps, we work from the principles. And then eventually I lead them because the minute you start thinking, if they hear 12 steps, sometimes they just go, I'm not doing that. If we work from the principles, for me, that's what's worked, you know, that's what's worked for me. So.
And you now, so it's a perfect example. You're somebody who is, you know, works in this industry, is professional, and now it's happened to you, to your son, and you're finding it moment by moment. So that's a really, anybody listening to this, a parent who's, you know, beats themselves up about, you know, being codependent, you can see how hard it is even for people who know all this knowledge. It's one of probably the most difficult challenge to, you know, to order to save a loved one by backing off and sitting on your hands and not trying to take any action. And I think that's it's a good example. I mean, it's one of life's biggest challenges to be able to do that successfully. And I give you a lot of credit for you know for following through and taking it one step at a time. Like you said, it's all you can do is moment to moment, right? That's it with his recovery. And I pray that he's going to, you know, everything is going to be okay with him. But thank God he has you as your mother, because you know a lot about this. Well, Debbie, did you want to say anything now? Do you, because I feel bad we haven't, I don't know if you can hear us.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay, great. You're back. All right.
Yeah. I put my earplugs in. However, I can hear Michelle, so I can hear you and Cindy.
I can hear Michelle. Okay.
Yeah, Michelle is like blocked from me. So, yeah, but I loved everything that Cindy has said, and I'm gonna get your book and add it to my library, Cindy. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I would like to say that the mothers, even before this was the book, it was a PowerPoint, and I would email it to women who were having a hard time, and they said, I have to hold on to this and watch it over and over, because we've got built-in forgetters, you know, sticky notes.
Oh, yeah.
I love sticky notes to remind me where I'm, what I'm, and the daily readings. And, but anyway, that's why I had this video, 20-minute video made to download on your cell phone, because I have women that would say, I got to read that book at least 2 times a week. Because we've got built in, you know, we've got built in forgetters. And she's, and the women would say, I read the book and I just, you can look in the mirror and see, I just got relieved. So that's why I had it made to download on the cell phone, you know.
And I appreciate that.
B12 shot, you know, when you need it.
I appreciate that, because in what I'm doing now, even though I work with people on a daily basis and all that, I'm real good with that issue. But then down to the line, when I do my daily work, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that, Cindy, because that's going to help me. I mean, I've got stacks of, like, you know, all my books are sitting right here, and I grab them and I open them and I'm highlighting and I'm answering the questions. And it is sometimes you just, that daily forgetters, whatever you call that. I love that phrase. So I'm so excited about looking at what you have to offer. Again, thank you very much. I'm glad you're doing this. Kristen, I saw you guys 2 weeks ago or maybe a week ago, and I came on and you were literally just leaving. And I went, Debbie, I know Debbie, and I'm sorry she can't hear me, but I'm like, we work together. Like, she probably still doesn't connect it. She says she does, but I'm not sure. But we actually did some little, we were doing one or two seminars together, and it was way back, maybe 8 years ago.
Yeah, and that's a one small world, right?
Yeah. And so I said, I got to go on. So I plugged into you, and I happened to see you come up today, and I went, I've got to chime in, because I love the name of the show. I love the fact that you have people out here that are going to be, you know, offering information. I'm going to be doing a blab, something similar, but a little bit on the different side. I'm working on doing something like that. So I'll invite you guys if you want to join in later on. But thank you so much, because I was attracted to the title. That's what got me.
Oh, thank you. And, you know, it's the title of our magazine. And I would like both of you like to contribute to our next issue, which is going to be for the fall winter edition.
Yes.
I'm going to put my email address right here in this, and you just send me an email. And Cindy already has it. Sorry. I would love, on the mother's perspective and the addict's perspective, if you have an article for Addiction 911 magazine, it's coming out. The next issue will be coming out in probably late November. And we would love to have you both, because you're both, you know, can add a lot of value and help a lot of people. And, you know, this is what it's, we want to get this app in the hands of everyone, you know, this way they can have, you know, the resources right at their fingertips. And I love what you said, Cindy, about, you know, how what you're sharing is also available on an app and, you know, online. This way, if you're, you know, you need a reminder, you can get a refresher instantly. And I think a lot of times we read a book, it's a nice long book and it's great. This happens with everything, motivational, no matter what you're reading. And then you forget a lot of it and you do have to go back and read it. So having that 20-minute video is extremely helpful to people. This way they can, you know, take 20 minutes when they're feeling like they're going to give in, you know, and they just can't, you know, hold the line with the addict. I think it just, everybody really has to remember the way to save the addict is to allow them to hit rock bottom. And it's unfortunately, there's no other way around it. Right, guys? I mean, you don't see anybody loving their addicts and them recovering. It's the addict has to get to that point on their own.
That's right.
May I say something about that?
Yes, please. Go ahead, Cindy.
Oh, thank you. Don't think because you have to let your addict or alcoholic hit rock bottom that, oh my God, they're going to be under a bridge and it's going to be winter and oh my goodness. Remember, there's missions in almost every big town. They will eat. There's churches. There are good people out there, but they need to scratch on their own.
Yes.
They need to beg and get tired of the begging on their own.
Yes.
And there's another thing I really want you to realize. So this is like an aha moment. So I know y'all understand this because you've heard it in 12-step meetings, but not everybody's been to 12-step meetings. Rock bottom is like an elevator. Remember that, girls? It's an elevator going down, and you can get off on the 100th floor, the 75th floor, the 50th floor, the 25th floor. Our higher power allows us to hit the button and get off any time we want to. We don't have to go, rock bottom doesn't have to be on the bottom or the ground floor or the basement floor. It can be on the 99th floor. A lot of men, when that woman says, I'm done, the kids are done, we're gone. That's the 99th floor for them, and man, they get off. So we can make it even a faster yes. bottom and an easier bottom, and we'll just get out of the way. So thanks for letting me share.
That's awesome.
And I do have a podcast. It's called Addiction Recovery Tip and the number 2, Addiction Recovery Tip Today. And ladies, may I please invite you to go to my website, CindyCharlesOlette.com, and submit recovery tips and let me mention your services free on my podcast. By the way, I'm number 2 in new and noteworthy iTunes podcast in my genre.
Wow.
In the world. So please let me have your tips, girls.
That's awesome.
That's wonderful, Cindy.
Let me record them. You write them. I'll record them and I'll mention them however you want.
That's great.
We're
here to be living examples.
Yes.
Experience, strength, and hope. That's why we're here.
Yes.
That's right.
Absolutely wonderful. I love that analogy about the elevator. I think that's really important for people out there to remember that, you know, it doesn't have to be, the rock bottom could be at different places. It's going to be where that addict, you don't know what the breaking point's going to be. Like you said, it could be, you know, a lot of mothers, maybe they're going to lose their children. It has to come down to the court saying, we're going to take away your child. Then they become clean. Or it could be being homeless, or it could be going to jail. I know someone who was addicted and he didn't actually recover. I mean, he got arrested and got 3 years in jail for crystal meth addiction. And after that, he's never touched it again. It's been like 8 or 9 years he's been clean because that was his rock bottom. I mean, you know, just so everybody has a different rock bottom. Some people could live for months or years out on the street and it's not their, you know, their rock bottom. So they have to get arrested or
something has to happen,
right, Debbie? So it's all, you know, you don't know that elevator analogy. That's a perfect analogy to keep in mind.
You don't know how many of my girls that I've helped in the Appalachian Mountains have shared in meetings. Every time I see that policeman, I get out of my car and go give him a hug. I love that policeman. I love that judge.
Right. That's right.
Because that's right. Our gift of desperation turns around into a blessing, mm-hmm. a blessing once we have our life back. And I don't know if anybody listening knows what the promises are, but they're the 9-step promises. And man, do they come true, because I'm married. The most wonderful man in the world, totally molded for me. When I finally sat on my hands and stopped trying to manipulate and control and trick a guy into marrying me when he wasn't the right one.
Good advice for all single ladies, right?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that's brilliant. Yeah, I mean, it's right. Put your hands under your butt and sit there and stop trying to control. That is a good lesson for not just dealing with this topic, for everything, right, in life. We're always trying to meddle. And sometimes the you know, things, when they're bad things happen, they're really blessings in disguise for everyone. And we just have to look for that blessing. And, you know, sometimes, unfortunately, you don't want to be the rock bottom, be the overdose, that, you know, that be the extreme that, you know, right now in the news, Lamar Odom, Khloe Kardashian's ex-husband, is clinging for life after, you know, here's a very talented man, you know, was a star athlete. You know, one of the, married to a famous woman, had a wonderful life, and boom, he's, you know, he turned into a terrible addict and, you know, terribly addicted to whatever he was doing, and his life now hangs in the balance. So we pray for him and hope that this, you know, well, when he recovers, that this was his rock bottom. But I mean, we don't want to see that with people, that their rock bottom can be the last bottom, you know, like you said, the last part of the basement of the elevator, unfortunately. But I guess everything's in God's will too. We can't control that, you know, right? Debbie, you'd say you can't control that. It's going to be, sometimes people's, that's just was their path in life. And as other humans, we cannot control it.
Well, my husband, one of my ex-husband's bottom was death, you know, overdosing and dying. But I will have to say, you know, he had a lot of enablers in his family. He never really, you know, he had a lot of money and his family continued to give him money and he never suffered. He never had consequences. He went to the finest of treatment centers, but never stayed in the rooms, never worked a program. And I knew because I was in recovery with my codependency, and I knew that his bottom was probably going to be death, because he just got worse and worse and was so cushioned and so enabled. But the thing about that is, sometimes that's merciful, you know, to the family and to the addict. If you know they're never going to quit and it's so much pain to them and it's so much pain to the family, sometimes I believe God just takes them home, you know, and it ends the mercy for everyone. So sometimes that can be a blessing in disguise, you know, that the person just is not going to get better, and it's a continual years and years and years of suffering for the family. So sometimes the bottom is death. I had a sister also who overdosed and died because of, you know, just not able to get it, you know. And, so, you know, when you're in the rooms, and Cindy, you know this, when you're in the rooms, it's either recovery, jail, or death. You know, that's it. I'm just so grateful today that I have, two siblings that are in recovery, you know, and we've gotten healthy from our growing up in an abusive, addictive home. And I'm so grateful by the grace of God, you know, there goes I, you know, that I am able to be in my codependency recovery. And I just want to reiterate, we're talking about us looking at the addict and saving the addict and wanting to rescue the addict and sitting on our hands and, you know, all those things. And one of the things that we believe, and I see it all the time with the families, is that they believe if their addict could just get healthy and in recovery, that everything will be okay. And Cindy mentioned, and I want to mention again, it is a family disease.
Exactly.
And so one of the greatest gifts that a therapist gave me was saying to me many years ago, Debbie, you are just as sick as he is, mm-hmm. talking about my addict husband. And I didn't have a clue what she meant, but I was. And my sickness was my addiction to the addict and the way that I constantly enabled and rescued and obsessed and all the things that I did. So if you are someone who is focused on your addict and you are learning to let go and let them hit that bottom, you get in recovery too. It's important for you to get support, get to some CODA meetings, get to some Al-Anon meetings. If you grew up in an addict home, to some ACOA meetings so you can identify. But get yourself a sponsor, get yourself a coach, you know, do those things that are going to help you, to support you in taking your hands off your addict.
Very good. Very good. Well, I think we're at the hour mark now, so I just want to thank you so much, Michelle. Cindy, absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much.
And love to you, Cindy.
Yes, I'd love for you both to contribute to the magazine. And, you know, the more knowledge we can get out there, the more we can help people together, and we could do more of these shows, and just, so we do this every Friday.
Okay.
Next week, actually, I'll be away, but we'll continue the Friday after that. And, you know, we just want to keep being here, and anybody's welcome to come on and share your experiences. And, you know, it's just, it's all we can do, right? In this community, is just be there and listen and try to help each other. And I want to thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Cindy. Thank you, Debbie.
Yes.
Wonderful show. And thank you, everybody who is watching. We're going to get the replay out, and thank you for bearing with us with our technical difficulties. We appreciate that. Blob is a pretty new format, so it's going to have that. We have to bear with it. And thank you all. Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, everybody have a great weekend. Great weekend. God bless.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Bye.